moving further from sobriety. Every day I'm moving further from sobriety. Further from sobriety. So sobriety. Every day I'm moving. And now it's time for Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art, with your host, Leslie M. Scott Jones.
Well, hello!
I know, everyone's missing David and the yell. I'm so sorry. But he's doing something very important this morning. He is celebrating his sister's birthday, and we want to give him time to do that. And we need to give a little shout-out as well to his sister, Alexis. Happy birthday, girl! Hope you partying it up now. All right, don't get too crazy. It's Sunday, all right? You got to work tomorrow. I'm just saying. But anyway, thank you so much for tuning into Homegrown this morning. Oh, my God, the show we have for you. The show we have for you. So, Clinton.
Yes.
Clinton's not paying any attention to me at all.
It's your world. I'm just the janitor.
I wouldn't call you the janitor. That's not apropos.
I'm less than the janitor?
No, you are quite more than the janitor. Okay? You are my sidekick. My what is it?
Sidekick?
Ha, you're funny. You're funny. You know, I'm the gangster.
Custodial professional?
I'm the gangster. You're my mall.
Excellent. Excellent. I will certainly accept that.
Right?
Can I get the tight dress? Can I be chewing the gum like popping up?
Yes.
Oh, Leslie.
Yes. Yes. We'll have to get you a wig, too.
Oh. We can relax some of this.
Oh, okay.
just, you know. A little perm.
Okay, we can do that too.
So, by the way, I've been watching, my latest guilty pleasure is watching Gotham, which I've
really?
Just started to watch. It's, you know, it's a CW show. But the interesting thing is that Jada Pinkett Smith steals that show. Who cares about Bruce Wayne? Who cares about Jim? Who cares about anybody we're supposed to care about?
Right.
The actor playing Penguin and Jada Pinkett Smith steal that show. And she has the most killer wig.
Really?
It is so, so good. And I'm so wig ignorant, but I only knew it was a wig because there was one episode where she was really pissed and she just straightened it. I'm like, oh, girl! Piece on.
She didn't do it, a black girl. Hold
she
on.
Did.
Let me straighten my
she
wig.
Did.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Well, see, now that you've said that, I might actually watch it. Because that was my thing. You know, my thing was, it's a CW show, and, you know, I mean.
Here's the thing. You fast forward past everything that isn't the guy playing Penguin and Jada Pinkett Smith.
And that's how we do it. That's how we do it here on Homegrown. All right. Well, I think we need to get to our first guest.
I think so.
I love that you did the vault, but it's cute. oh, my goodness. And what a first guest we have. Deanna Danger, people. Deanna Danger. Professional. I love this title. Professional purveyor of good times, headmistress of Boom Boom Basics. Can I have a title like that? I want a title like that. So, Deanna, how are you?
I'm very wonderful. Thank you so much for having me on the show.
Of course. So, what exactly is entailed in being the headmistress of Boom Boom Basics?
Well, it's actually headmistress because I ain't nobody's mistress.
No, oh, damn!
There you go, girl.
But I do run a burlesque and performing arts studio. We've been in business since 2010, and we teach folks how to do the art of the tease.
Oh.
Now, the art of the tease, can you go into detail what are we talking about with the art of the tease?
Sure. It is a vintage art form, and it's been revived here in America since about the mid-90s. And it is the vintage striptease, so it's very cheeky, very funny, very, very risque, but very intelligent, and there's always kind of a story to it, and it does involve, elaborate costumes or elaborate themes, but it's about the reveal and what we can say with our bodies and our minds at the same time.
So when I was growing up, I think we were all growing up, at least when I was growing up, because I'm old, burlesque had a stigma to it. It was lower than lowbrow entertainment. So can you talk about the resurgence of burlesque in the last 10 to 15 years?
Sure. Well, it does still have a stigma with it, in certain circles. It's definitely getting there, but it kind of resurged back in the 90s in New York City. The mayor was actually shutting down a lot of the different strip clubs around, and dancers had to take up somewhere with their art. And it definitely started evolving there as a kind of political and social meme. So there's a lot to be said. The human body itself is political. So that's kind of where it's got its basis these days with it. And, it's definitely an evolved art form. It's not necessarily for the male gaze. It's what we want to show on stage. And, it's very open, very body positive, and you can find every single body type and person on stage performing burlesque.
So how did you get into doing burlesque?
Well, I was a dancer at a club here in Richmond. I worked at a go-go fetish club, and they had a burlesque themed night, and I was like, y'all gotta let me perform. I've been a dancer since I was itty bitty, so it was just kind of a natural thing, and burlesque was starting to grow here in Richmond then, and it just stuck, and here I am 9 years later.
Wow. Okay, so what's the biggest difference between the first time you performed burlesque and performing it 9 years later?
Well, I actually know what I'm doing now. I think more about it. It's filled with more intention. Burlesque helped me learn a lot about myself and what I had inside me and the stories that I carry with me and that are in my soul. So I knew what I was doing movement-wise back then, but now my performances have much more impact. There's something to be said with them underneath. And the costumes have gotten a hell of a lot better.
Oh, there you go.
So you talk about the art of the tease. Can you tell us what is the art in the art of the tease?
Well, it's the intention that we place with it, and it's in the full package, because you can't have a reveal without the tease. So it's about the ebb and the flow, and with burlesque, it is a type of theater, and we don't have the fourth wall between us and the audience.
Right.
It's super interactive, and we want people to be really engaged with it. You engage much more than just your physicality when you watch burlesque. So there's lots to figure out in what a performer wants to say and how she wants to say it.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't been to any burlesque shows in Richmond, but I've been to several in D.C. And the one thing I've noticed is that the crowd really treats it as if they were in a regular strip club. And the thing that, yeah, and the thing that was interesting to me is that it really didn't matter that the performer wasn't taking absolutely everything off. The crowd got just as excited. They were just as into it. Have you found that when you perform that what you reveal is not necessarily the biggest thing
the that people,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And it's in that buildup where the excitement comes from. So, that's what differs burlesque from strip club environment. There is that buildup of the tease, and there's a lot of it. We want you to take in what we're saying with our body and what parts that we're taking off. We want you to take in the full costume and, its intricacies. And you can't just go to that all quick. So, and it's in that buildup that creates the excitement for the audience. So, you know, we've all been revved up and excited about something in our lives. So when you keep revving that engine and then you finally give that reveal, it's a nice release for everybody. So,
yeah. Yeah. So what kind of music do you use in your performances?
Oh, all different kinds. There's a couple of different kind of genres of burlesque. There's classic burlesque, which would be more of like the old timey blues and swing and jazz and anything in that realm. But really it can be anything, and it's very modern. Like, there's lots of different genres of neo burlesque. And there's even a genre called nerdlesque. So those that are nerds, you know, you can find cosplay themes or comic book themes, and you can be as silly and ridiculous or as serious and classic as you want to be.
Wait, wait, there's cosplay tees?
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, that is that sure. That is a couple steps down a rabbit hole, isn't it?
I mean,
actually, I think we might have some in our show next weekend in Charlottesville.
Really? Well, tell us about that.
It's called Remix Neo Burlesque and Variety, and it's our newest show out at Ix Art Park. And it's kind of our wild and our weird side. And we've definitely got a couple of artists on that bill that are doing some nerdlesque with some comic-themed items and some video game items. And it's kind of taking things and turning it on its head.
That is very cool. So how often do you perform in Charlottesville?
With that series, we're there every month, every fourth Saturday at Ix. We also have another show that was our first show there in Charlottesville called Butchertown Burlesque, and that happens at the Southern Cafe and Music Hall, and we're there about every other month.
Right, and we know about Butchertown Burlesque because every week on the show we do a rundown of stuff coming up, and we've announced Butchertown Burlesque a number of times. So why the difference, why Remix at Ix? Why not just have Butchertown Burlesque be at Ix? Is there a difference between the two performances?
Indeed, they're two totally different shows. The Butchertown show is vintage classic, so you're not going to hear any modern music at all. It is done with a live band, which is not something that you find around at most burlesque shows in the area. So that one's more about the band and the performers, and we create an immersive kind of speakeasy type experience. So the band plays more like there's only three performers per show, and it's more of a drawn out kind of thing. Whereas the Remix show is our weirder side. So
hence the name
and
Remix.
It's all modern. Yeah,
I get it now. That's great.
Yeah.
I'm slow, but I get there eventually.
But he's very cute while he gets there. It's really something to watch. Talk about a reveal. So you're here in Charlottesville every fourth Saturday at Ix, right?
Indeed.
That's awesome. All right, so Clinton, we're going, right?
What's that?
We're going, right, Clinton?
Oh, I definitely want to see this.
Okay. All right. I'm just making sure. See, I have to make plans with Clinton. And normally, to get him to actually agree to them and show up, I have to do it on the air so he can't, like, back out and say, no, I didn't say I was going. What are you talking about?
We're like, now Charlottesville's heard you. You got to go.
That's it. We have to sit in the front row, too, Clinton.
Speaking of Charlottesville.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of Charlottesville, do you notice a difference between Richmond audiences and Charlottesville audiences?
Yes and no. Audiences everywhere are totally different. It's definitely newer in Charlottesville, so we have a lot of folks that just don't know what it is.
Uh-huh.
And we always see them leave with big old smiles on their face. But I do know that with our Butchertown show, it took a little bit for folks to get warmed up.
Mm-hmm.
People were a little shy to begin with, and that's a show we encourage folks to get up and dance. So, you know, we have a really great band, and we want folks to be able to enjoy their night like a dance night. And it took a good few months for them to really get it and not be shy enough or not be too shy to get up and dance with us.
Yeah, let's step back on that for our listeners, all two of them. No, we have so many more than two. For our listeners. Educate us. What should you come to a burlesque show? What should you bring with you? What kind of audience I mean, what should a burlesque audience be like?
I don't think there's accoutrement that we have that the audience has.
No,
to
no,
bring.
But I mean, like mentally, what do you bring with you? Because what I'm saying, like in traditional theater, you come and you bring the expectation that you sit there and you're very quiet and you're very still and you're very respectful. And I get the impression that burlesque, that's not the type of performance that this is.
Yes, absolutely. We want you to hoot and holler. We want you to go a little wild. Like, there's no golf clap around in the burlesque world.
Nicely removed.
We feed off of the audience. So if there's more hooting and hollering, this is the place for us to all kind of revel in our beauty and all of our flaws. The more excitement that we can build up throughout the whole routine, we want that. We want folks to be super interactive. It helps us out on the stage. And we like to know you're out there and that you're liking it. And when we know that, we're going to give even more with our performance.
There you go. Well, we've got to pay half a bill. And we're going to do a little station identification, and we'll be right back.
Sure thing.
This is McGuffey artist Sam Gray, and you're listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC.
17 minutes past the hour, you're listening to 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville, and this is Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art, and we are sitting here speaking on the phone with Deanna Danger from Boom Boom Basics in Richmond about her about burlesque and about their upcoming show at the Ixar Park Remix Neo Burlesque Variety Show. How you doing, Deanna?
Hello.
Okay, she said that very seductively. I just want to point that out.
It's a habit. I can't help it.
So an observation that I have is that it's interesting to hear you talk about the reveal, because Leslie and I are both theater artists, and Leslie is also a writer.
And so's Clinton.
And when we... as I'm sure you know, when we're breaking down, at least in the smattering of training that I've had, when we're breaking down components of theater, one of the things we talk about is the reveal. That's something that happens frequently in show and show after show after show, and it's interesting. I wonder if you think about burlesque being like a traditional theater experience, but really, really intensified. Like you've taken a particular component of what is dramatic and focused in on that.
Yes, indeed.
Cool. Is there a narrative? Do you try to construct a narrative in the teas?
For sure. And it can be done very simply, or it can be very complex. And it depends on, what kind of burlesque you're doing. If you're doing classic burlesque, the reveal could be, just your wonderful pasties that you have on underneath your costume that are totally rhinestoned and have the best tassels on them. It could be all about that particular costume piece or one particular move that the performer might do that, maybe it's a very cool stocking peel and says a lot about their flexibility or their dance training or whatever it might be. And in the funny realm, and especially in the funny realm, it's one of my favorites. The reveal it's not just your body that you're revealing, but it's also a joke. So it's just, like a well-timed joke, you got to have a well-timed reveal. For instance, I do an act where I'm a flamingo, and I'm a very, very, I'm a former ballet dancer, so I'm very balletic, and I'm dancing around as my flamingo self with my big old flamingo nose on and trying to be as prim and proper as I possibly can. And throughout the routine, I discover that I just have an itch that I can't quite locate and get to. And so while I'm trying to be this very put-together pink flamingo, I'm having all kinds of struggles and, flouncing about the stage. And as the costume gets revealed, because I'm looking for this itch, I reveal that I've found it and I have a big shrimp made out of rhinestones on my undies.
That's
so I found
awesome.
The itch. And the extra little reveal on the end of that, because that's kind of like, oh, she found her shrimp. That's very funny. And the way that I get to that reveal is funny, but that one's got an extra tagline to it that I reveal that I've actually had a real shrimp that I then eat
oh.
on stage as my flamingo self, because flamingos love shrimp. So when you kind of get to that, you see the reveal, and then there's one extra little nugget, one little Easter egg that really sends the audience over the edge. Well, we love pulling that out with Burlesque.
Please tell me that you'll be doing that one on Saturday.
I tell you what, I'm not going to be there on the 25th. My cast is going to be there doing a wonderful show, but I will be there for the September show, and I will absolutely do that routine.
Awesome. Awesome.
So, the burlesque art, I'm sorry, did I step on you?
Go for it.
Okay. So, the burlesque artist, how much dancer, how much performance artist?
Much more performance artist than dancer. You definitely don't have to be a dancer to do burlesque, because it's not, you know, it's not like ballet where there's a particular form. And we have particular moves that are quintessential in burlesque, such as the shimmy or the bump and the grind. But it's what the artist brings to it. So it's more so about the personality that comes through and the confidence that innately shines through in every single performance that draws you in. You could stand in one spot and take off one piece of clothing through the whole routine and be just as poignant as someone who had a full costume and 5 minutes to perform. So
what you're saying is anybody could do this.
Absolutely. We have a saying around Boom Boom Basics, and it's not what you got, it's the fun you have shaking it.
Nice.
As long as you hone into that fun and use your fun to make a story out of it and entertain an audience, that's what we want to see on stage.
Very cool.
So what led you to bring Boom Boom Basics to Charlottesville? Or to bring burlesque to Charlottesville?
Because I would think that a couple of other just random shows there with some other productions. And the Butchertown show got started in 2016, and that was a show that was my first like solid series in Charlottesville that's recurring. And it's a speakeasy environment, so I wanted to be able to bring a night of entertainment that's something unusual to Charlottesville, and just kind of help give more to the culture, because it's, you know, we do the performing and there's a lot to the burlesque performance, and we get really incredible musicians. We will be at the Southern again on September the 8th, and we will be there with the Judy Chops from Harrisonburg.
Holy
smokes!
So we get
to collaborate with local musicians too, and it's super immersive and just unique entertainment, and it's something very different, and I want to bring it to as many cities as I possibly can.
That's very cool.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Deanna, for...
I think we have time for one more question.
We have time for one more question?
One more question.
Clinton is itching to ask one more question.
Oh, I thought you meant... We're itching. So, can you talk about the challenges of introducing an area or a town to burlesque?
Well, that does pose some challenges. I think we're doing pretty good with it. It does take quite a bit to get going because it does have that taboo that's been brought with it throughout the decades.
Mm-hmm.
So folks understanding what it is initially is very hard. We do what we can to make sure that we get really quality media when we're performing, whether that be photos or videos, so people can get an actual taste of it. But, you know, and not just in our area, but in all kinds of areas, we've run into resistance with just very conservative minds and not really understanding that as adults we can make the decision to have sexy, funny, empowering entertainment and be doing it safely. So we try to beat that down as much as we can, and I think we've been pretty successful with it. Here in Virginia, we have a lot of ABC laws that prohibit us from doing burlesque in certain places.
Right.
So we try to keep pushing those open as much as we can, because even those laws are pretty antiquated and built around things that don't really exist here in 2018.
Can I tell you, it's really daring what you're doing, because in this culture, we haven't really carved much of a space for things that are sexy, for things that are titillating, for things that are arousing, without them also being somehow dangerous or somehow forbidden.
Yeah.
Exactly. Burlesque definitely rides that middle line. We, as burlesque dancers, the rules are different than when you come to a burlesque show than when you would at a strip club. With a burlesque show, you know, you're there to sit in an audience. It is a theatrical thing, and there might be some interaction here or there, but we are performing for the audience on whole and not just up an audience of one if we were at a strip club. So it is that there is, it's just a gray area, and it's pretty interesting to see folks kind of understand it. Like, most folks don't have an idea of what burlesque is, so if they know what it's like at a strip club, it takes a moment for them to realize what the rules are, and you know, there's still tipping involved. It's just done in a tip jar versus on the person.
Exactly.
Yeah. So we try to bust it down as much as we can, but it's the art form is evolving, and just sexy entertainment is evolving, and we try to be right on that line and do it in a safe, empowering way.
All right. Well, Deanna, thank you so much for coming on the
Absolutely.
Show and talking to us. Can you give
thank
people
you all so much?
Can you give people once more the who, what, where, and when, where, and why for both Remix and Butchertown Burlesque?
Sure thing. Remix is every fourth Saturday at Ix Art Park. Our next one there is up on August 25th, and the doors are at 8, show is at 9. And Butchertown Burlesque is roughly every other month. Our next one is coming up on September 8th. Doors are at 8, show is at 9. And if you go to boomboombasics.com and click over to our shows page, you can find all the information about all of our shows and pre-sale tickets and everything that you would need.
Awesome.
Thank you so much, Deanna. It was wonderful talking with you.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for including me.
Our pleasure, and we hope you'll come back.
Indeed. I hope to see you at the show.
Goodbye.
And he quickly hangs up the phone.
No, I'm not quickly hanging up the phone.
I know. I know. I'm just teasing you.
Hey, let's... speaking of stuff that's coming up.
Yes.
Let's speak of some stuff coming up.
Yes, let's speak of some things coming up, shall we? Currently running December 8th through December 8th, the American Shakespeare Center runs its summer fall season with four plays. Emma Whipday's adaptation of Jane Austen's Emma, George Etheridge's The Man of Mode or Sir Fopling Flutter, and Richard III As You Like and As You Like It by Shakespeare. Currently running through September 9th. Yeah. Nagungunny?
Yeah, exactly. At least that's what we think. Nagungunny.
Okay. Nagungunny. Okay. Old techniques remain strong. An exhibition of paintings on eucalyptus bark from the West, the West Delay region of Northern Australia at the Klugiroo Aboriginal Art Collection. Through August 31st, Eze Amos. Hey, Eze, what's going on? His photography exhibit, Seaville People Every Day at New City Arts. Eze is the New City Arts current artist in residence. Congratulations, honey. Currently running through August 22nd, Oak Grove Theater's final production of the summer, The Farce, Love Lies, and The Doctor's Dilemma in Verona. All right. Last chance to see artist Samantha Gray's show, Guy and Reveries, running at the McGuffey Art Center. August 21st, the Virginia Film Festival presents, as a part of their VFF and Violet Crown series, presents the tragic love story about a boxing champion, El Inca. August 24th, Ben Theater Comedy Improv at the Bridge Progressive Arts Initiative. Hey, Andy, what's up?
What up, Andy?
The 25th, Tally English reads from her debut novel, Horses, at the New Dominion Bookshop. And for your musical options this week.
Today, it's Gary Hatter and Bill Stetton at the Batesville Market at 1 p.m. Callie Garrett and Gary Green at Glasshouse Winery at 3 p.m. Harmonica genius Gary Green. August 21st is Travis Elliott at Fellini's. August 22nd, Josh Mayo hosts the open mic night at 1221 Market Street. August 23rd, August 23rd, Victory Hall Opera presents Now Try This, a night of opera improv. August 23rd, the Robert Joss Bay Express Junior's Last Stand is at Dirty Nelly's.
Woo!
And the Tyler Dick Band is at Fellini's. August 24th, Robert Joss Bay at Castle Hall Cider. It's a week of Robert Joss Bay. Don't miss any of him. Also on the 24th, Fridays After Five continues what looks to be their all Charlottesville summer with the Barons at Sprint Pavilion, of course, downtown. And this weekend, you can go there without having to wade through a sea of cops. August 24th, the Full Moon Saloon Band. That's such, so much a plus. Full Moon Saloon Band at Glasshouse Winery, open mic night at James River Brewery in Scottsville, and DJW and DJ Ryan Clark at Rapture.
Hey, Devin!
August 25th, Gabriel Planes at Fellini's, Beliza at the Jefferson Vineyards, Butterfly Vendetta at the Baja Bean in Stanton, and our man Rusty Spidell and friends at Chisholm Vineyards and Adventure Farm, and also our other man, Eli Cook.
Hey, Eli, what's up?
Down at Dirty Nelly's every Friday, of course, it's the Pickin' and Grinnin' Vocal and Musical Jam at James River Brewery in Scottsville. Every Monday, the Bluegrass Jam at the Front Porch Roots Music School. Also, Seafoot, the Charlottesville Friends of Old Time Music, their weekly open jam at Thomas Jefferson Memorial Unitarian Church.
Where else?
Where else? Every Monday, Red and the Romantics at the Whiskey Jar. Every Monday, the Singer-Songwriter Night at the local. Every Tuesday, the traditional Irish session
at the Tin Whistle Irish Pub.
Also, Latin Guitar Night with Miles Pierce and Humberto Salas at the Bebedero. Every Wednesday, Open Mic Night at Prairie Nada Farm Brewery.
Bam!
Open Mic Night at Holly's Deli and Pub, hosted by Josh Mayo.
Bam!
Jazz Collective Number 9 at Fellini's Number 9.
Bam!
DJ and Friends at the Bebedero. Bachata Fusion at the Ix Art Park.
Bam!
502 Fossils at the Shabim Pub and Bry.
Bam!
And the Mike Rosensky and Jeff Decker Quartet at Miller's.
Ooh.
Every Thursday, it's Lua at the Bebedero. And every Thursday,
John Dearth!
With the John Dearth Quintet at Miller's. Because every once in a while, you just gots to come down to Dearth.
And John gots to come on the show.
And those are just some of the wonderful artistic events in this wonderful artistic town.
This is Andy Davis from Bent Theater Improv Comedy, and you're listening to Homegrown, your show about local arts on 94.7
WPVC.
94.7 WPVC.
33 minutes past the hour.
Oh my goodness. Stay tuned for the Sunday morning wake-up call with your host, Rick Moore. His guest is the Reverend Eric Walker.
It's a previously broadcast version.
Right, previously broadcast. Eric Walker Wickstrom. That's a very interesting name. Of the Thomas Jefferson Memorial Unitarian Universalist Church. Wow, there's a, they put an extra one in there.
From where else?
Talking about religious freedom and the Trump administration attempted Muslim bans. All right, I'm just going to leave that there. There's so much to say about that. I'm just going to leave that.
We're going to
move away from that, and we're going to move to our next guest.
Steaming fire of a dump, Chump Trump.
And we're going to move to our next guest, people.
That lavatory pump steaming fire of a dump chump truck.
Okay, Clinton's having a little trouble moving away from it, but that's okay. We're going to.
Why did we elect him? How did that happen?
Oh, it's all right, baby. Get it out. Get it out.
American racist, I'm looking at you.
That's right.
If you don't want to be called racist, don't elect the racist to office.
I know, right?
Sorry.
All right, is it out?
Mm.
Okay.
Stuffing it back in.
You can stuff it back in. Okay.
Stuffing it.
Well, while Clinton stuffs that back in, we're going to turn to our next two guests, Blair Wingfield and Casey Lohr from It Should Have Been You, the musical at Shannon Arts, directed by my beautiful Alejandro. How are you guys?
Great. How are you?
Oh, you know, it's early Sunday morning, but, you know, we're here. We're here. It's all good. So, It Should Have Been You. What's that about?
Oh, gosh.
It's about a lot. Mainly, it takes place at a wedding between Rebecca Steinberg and her fiancé, husband-to-be, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the, I guess, complications that come from a wedding in general, and also an interfaith wedding because she is Jewish, he is not.
Oh,
and the families are melding, and all of the craziness that comes from that.
So do they meld well? That's the question.
You know, you'll have to come and see it to find out.
How well do any families meld, especially on the day of the wedding?
Love the idea of the interfaith wedding. Is he sitting there saying, "Okay, so explain to me the thing about the chairs again"?
His mother does have a great line of when they get in the circle and start jumping up and down. I'm not going up in that chair.
Oh,
so he is trying. He has a Yiddish phrase book that he's struggling through. But
do
he's
they
trying.
Make those? Is that a real thing?
I don't know, but I kind of hope so.
I know, right? It's
just such a good idea.
That's so great. I want one.
A Jewish for Dummies handbook.
Yes. So he is trying his best. His family is maybe not so much.
Well,
essentially, this is about a wedding that goes wrong for all the right reasons.
Oh, yes. Okay. All right. I got you. So, who do you guys play?
I play Annie Shepherd, one of the co-maids of honor.
A co-maid of honor?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Because Blair.
Yes, I play Jenny Steinberg, the other co-maid of honor and also sister of the bride.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Also, like the low-key wedding planner. Like
pseudo shadow wedding planner,
yes.
The one that fixes all the mess that comes her way.
Well, you know, in any wedding there's mess, but in a Jewish wedding there's mess. I've been to a couple of those. There's a lot. It's just a lot.
Yes. And in these families, they're all such dynamic people,
right?
That it's just automatically, you know, you've got the messy aunt, you've got the uncle that doesn't remember where he is, you've got, you know,
the overbearing mother.
Yes.
Well, every wedding has that.
Yes. You've got the dads that are just kind of, you know, the one dad is just kind of like, I'm just here so that your mother doesn't scream at everyone. And then you've got the other dad that's like, I'm just here so that your mother stops drinking at some point during the day. You know, you've got the best man who is a firecracker, and then you've got the one co-maid of honor who is equally firecracker in nature and is just they're just there for the party. Like, my first entrance on stage is me running in screaming, so, you know, I feel like that just sets up the character perfectly.
So speaking of characters, can you speak more of your characters? Like, and maybe not necessarily provide like spoilers and things like that, but how has it been finding those characters? How's it been? Has it been a challenge? Has it been easy? Talk about your processes.
Well, I've really fallen in love with my character, Jenny. She is the epitome of someone who values her self-worth. She loves herself, believes that she's beautiful, really just carries that with her, but she truly struggles with everyone else seeing her that way and finding those people that accepts the person that she really believes she is.
Yeah.
And
so she's just like you, is that what you're saying?
Oh, absolutely. No,
typecasting.
No, that's actually probably been the biggest struggle for me, is to, you know, get on this person's level who really just, at the end of the day, loves herself and believes in herself, because we all, you know, struggle with identity. We all struggle with these, you know, days where we don't feel beautiful or we don't feel confident, and she just owns it and really, really loves herself.
Oh, a woman after my own heart. Mm-hmm.
Which I feel terrible, because Blair has an amazing song where she's going through and she's saying, you know I'm amazing, I know I'm beautiful, and then I have to interrupt her.
Yes.
I kind of ruin the moment. So.
And then her mother takes a dig and says, well, don't you look nice?
You know.
Yes, one of those.
It's hilarious, because the woman playing her mother, Sandy, is the sweetest person on the planet.
Absolutely.
And is just constantly, like, we'll get done with a scene in rehearsal and she'll be like, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry, I feel so mean. But she plays it amazingly.
She does.
It's
we're like,
so funny to
we're
see
scared
the,
how much you are, you know,
getting into this.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're sorry. Uh-huh. I see you.
Yep, yep. Totally.
So this is a musical.
Yes.
So what's the music like?
It's a lot of different, like, things. Like, there's a song, you know, during the After the Wedding that has like a horror feel to it.
The feel of the horror.
There is a song that's like an 80s power ballad. There is, you know.
There's a lot of jazz.
Yep.
Oh my gosh. Because really, like, what jazzy. Goes better to wedding than Total Eclipse of the Heart?
Okay. You know? Right. Nothing. I mean,
right?
What, if a wedding doesn't have it, I leave. If it's not in the first 10 minutes of the reception, I'm out of there.
I agree with you. I agree with you. That's a staple.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a lot of jazz. There's a lot of like blues influence. Of course, you've got like the big, you know, typical musical number where you just see everybody and their mother on stage at once, which Alejandro loves blocking that. He loves that.
I'm sure.
At one point, I think his exact words were, "Why are there so many people in this show? Where am I putting you all? Can some of you go away?"
Exactly. Yeah, I think the music is one of the greatest parts about the show because it kind of has something for everyone. There's really not a specific genre or a specific theme. It's kind of all over the place. So you're constantly surprised and you're definitely going to be entertained the entire time.
Yes. Yes.
So I like to think that I like musicals, but I'm not very familiar with this one. How do you guys know how old it is? Did it hit Broadway?
Was it's it just fairly off recent. Broadway? I believe it was in 2015 that it was on Broadway. It had a little bit. It had a short run.
Yes.
But I think it made a pretty great impact.
Yes.
While it was on.
And one of the things that was kind of the big draw for it was that David Hyde Pierce, Niles from Frasier, was the director.
Yes, now I remember hearing about this.
Yes. So that was, you know, even before I really like had looked into it, I think that was the and David Burtka was in it, Neil Patrick Harris's husband, who is a fabulous actor in his own right. But I remembered like when I first started looking into it, like that was the first thing that I remember reading was David Hyde Pierce, David Burtka, and I was like, oh, okay, so you know, there's something here
yeah. Because these people wouldn't have been involved if it were
exactly
crap.
And then when you get into reading, you know, even just the synopsis, I was like, oh, this is amazing. And then when I got the script, I was like, oh, this is fantastic. And like and then as we're like bringing it to life more and more, it's kind of growing in its own way of going from this thing that I was vaguely interested in because of, you know, the people originally attached to it, to now I'm, you know, so invested in it because, oh no, it's got, you know, Blair and Sandy and Gary and Matt, and you know, it's this great thing that we've turned it into on its own now.
It's such a charming, well done musical. It's super funny. Audience members are going to be laughing the entire time. You know, you're just going to leave.
From the beginning. Like, yes. They're in the opening number, there is a part that is going to, Jeremy's.
Yes.
Like, there's an entrance that is just perfect. And it's just so, like, now that, like, we've seen Jeremy, who plays Marty, like, seen him just kind of.
The ex-boyfriend that comes and tries to stop the wedding.
Because there's always one of those. but you know, even just seeing him do that in rehearsal, like knowing how that's going to transfer to the show in the theater and everything, audience members are just going to die laughing at him making his entrance alone.
It was pretty apparent even from the start, from our first cast reading of the script. You know, we were all sitting at the table reading this play, and all of us were dying laughing and to tears. Yep. I mean, to absolute. And that doesn't happen in a first reading. People aren't good in the first reading.
Right.
You know, exactly. But I
don't
mean,
know the characters
these jokes are just so well written that it was landing every single time. We could be terrible and the show is going to be amazing. I'll give that to you. But we're not, I promise.
And even now, like we had our first like real off book rehearsal the other day, and we kind of went back to the table read kind of setting where we were sitting, you know, not doing blocking. We were just sitting kind of looking at one another as we're going through. And even then, the jokes that we've heard at this point over and over again were still landing, and we were still laughing at them, and we were still hitting those emotional moments where it's like, you know, oh, this is really, you know, just getting to me, even though I know it's coming, even though I know, Jenny's mom is going to make a dig at her. It still gets to you. Even though I know this joke is coming from Greg, it's still funny, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's exciting.
Wow, that's a gift. That is such a gift.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're going to take a moment and do a drop and pay some bills. We'll be right back here on Homegrown.
This is Brian Weimer of the Ix Art Park, and you're listening to Homegrown, 94.7 WPVC.
47 minutes past the hour, you're listening to 94.7 WPVC, the progressive voice of Charlottesville. And this is Homegrown, your only show dedicated to local art. We're sitting here with Blair Wingfield and Casey Lohr from Shannon Art's upcoming production of It Should Have Been You, in Stanton at Shannon Art's. So, Casey, I know you've done a bunch of theater. And I'm pretty sure you have too. I have that feel. I've got this vibe.
Oh, thanks.
Can you talk about the difference? Because and this comes to me because the last time, Casey, you were on the show was for the Vietnam show that you guys
did. Piece of My Heart, yes.
Piece of My Heart. Very different type of show.
A little bit.
Can you talk about the difference between doing serious, straight drama and lighthearted musical comedy?
I think the big thing with musicals is people don't realize everything that's involved in a musical.
Talk about that. Open up the tin and let them see.
I know. You know, as an audience member, you look into it as, oh, this is light and fun. The writing sometimes isn't super, you know, heavy. It's a little bit more campy. You know, people break out into song. Of course, it's going to be campy. But there's so much more that goes into it. I mean, dancing, musicality, acting, the whole shebang. It's like a full body experience. Yes. And also it takes a lot of trust, I think, as a cast. Well, any show that you do takes a lot of trust, but in a musical itself, you're really depending
on everybody else. Because it's not just waiting for a line, it's, dude, music's playing. What are you doing? Why are you standing there saying nothing?
Exactly.
and especially with the show, especially the big, like the opening number and the, you know, finale where everyone is on stage and everyone has a line where, you know, my line is weaving in and out of, you know, Blair's line is weaving in and out of Patrick's line is weaving in and out of, you know, and if one person is not
there.
Cues are so important.
Yes.
And I think also the biggest difference for me is that, you know, Piece of My Heart was, you know, there was very much a character in a specific time. And, because then I was playing, you know, an officer in the military, you know, during Vietnam. That is a very specific type of person.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Annie is a bridesmaid at a wedding. You know, there are other layers to her,
but that's her description.
That you get she's a bridesmaid at the wedding.
Right.
Go for it.
Go.
You know, and she's black. And I'm like, okay, one of those I don't have to try for.
Right.
And the others aren't
one
very...
One of those I've got.
Yeah. One of those nailed it. Woke up, did it.
Nailed you it. Know, yeah. I'm there.
Exactly. But, you know, at the same time, when the description, you know, without reading the show itself is very generic,
mm-hmm.
you kind of, before, you know, even just from the first read, you kind of have to start building who this person is.
Yes.
Whereas with, you know, Piece of My Heart, there was... This was a person.
It was built,
you know,
yeah.
And especially because Piece of My Heart was built on, you know, interviews with
people. Yeah. Yes.
So you could find there. Okay, here's an interview with a black female military officer from Vietnam.
Right.
Here is her experience. There are how many bridesmaids in the world?
Right. And no, none of them have been interviewed to that level.
Exactly. So you kind of have to build your own person and figure out what has led this character to this moment way she is.
So. She is in the script as a black woman.
Yes.
How rare is that?
Yep.
Especially for a musical from Broadway.
Yep.
Like that. That's awesome. So does that come out? Does her blackness come out in the script?
Yes. Yes.
I think the question is how good a black woman. Like, were the writers African American?
No.
Okay, so how good a job did they do? Did they give you a character or a caricature?
It is a character. It is very much a character because that is not the end all be all of who she is by any means. It does play into things that I can't say because Alejandro will run here from Stanton and strangle
and be like,
me.
Why did you say that?
Exactly. But it does play into it. But she is very much a well-rounded person by the end of the show.
At any point in the show, do you say,
no.
Hell no.
No,
or,
I
oh,
don't.
No, she didn't.
No, I don't. And thank goodness because I...
Or fam, sister.
No, no. I think the closest I get, and this is just my own inflection on the line, is I say, I got this. And that's as close as I think it gets to any sort of sass. And that's just me reading it that way.
Well, but I'm glad that the writers didn't impose that.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Because I've definitely been in shows where there is the...
Right.
You are the sassy black friend.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And yes, I am... sassy, and yes, I am black.
And yes,
I don't know if I'm your friend. No.
Yeah.
But anyway, not after reading this script. Anyway, so how is Alejandro as a director? I know you've been directed by him before.
Yes.
But you know, it's a musical and it's huge. Like, and I know how flustered he can get, and how funny that is when he does get flustered.
Yes. Honestly, I think he's doing a terrific job. This is his first musical that he's ever directed.
Right.
So I know he came into it slightly nervous, but he has been studying this script since he did A Piece of My Heart.
Yeah, literally, like maybe the last week of Piece of My Heart.
Yeah.
He was like, so I'm thinking about my next show.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be happier. And I'm like, well, it would be hard not to be, so
right.
Good to know. But yes, even from that point, he has been like looking at this show and, you know, just planning the little ins and outs. And
yes, he loves
it. Speak for yourself. I'm an old guy. Vietnam shows, they took me back home. They took me to my happy place. Death, destruction, and pointless hubris from the American government. A sense of, you know, revulsion from the people. Oh, like it was my heart.
It was a piece of your heart?
It was a piece of my heart. Just a little piece of my heart. There's not much of it left.
You need a different happy place, Precious.
Yeah.
I mean, just we'll talk about that after the show.
Being on the show here with you is my happy place.
Aww. See? And then he says things like that. Okay. You ask another question, I'm a little upset right now.
A little verklempt, as it were.
Yeah.
There actually is a Yiddish for Dummies, by the way. Just to throw it out.
Oh, my gosh.
The For Dummies book series. The For Dummies book series did put out a Yiddish for Dummies.
Oh my God.
That is amazing.
Well, I know Alejandro's listening, but I'm just saying, director present?
I'm
just throwing that out there.
I was literally thinking in the car on my ride home from rehearsal the other day, we got to think of that.
Yes.
Last time it was easy. It was like, oh, it's a war show, so we found him a helmet.
There you go.
Everybody signed. This, what do you get from a wedding? I'm not getting him like a garter or like a cake.
He a might divorce?
Like that.
No! Stop it.
Hey, now.
Putting that out in the universe. How dare you?
Shay is one of our brides.
Could,
be nice.
You could give him a garter.
I think he'd appreciate it.
He would appreciate a garter.
This is true.
He would appreciate... For those of you who aren't theater people who don't know, it is a tradition that the cast give the director a present at the end of the show. You know, just to show, you know, a little thing of their appreciation,
Thank you for
love.
Tolerating us.
Thank you for, you know, not murdering all of us on the way here, you know.
Yeah.
I think he would love a garter. That would be awesome.
Now we've got the...
But it's
got
to be big enough for everybody to sign, which...
Could hilarious.
Be hysterical.
I know what
That's
you're thinking.
True.
You can't use my garter. You can't use it. You can't.
Why?
Ruining all my plans.
But it's for Alejandro.
I need something to keep my stockings up.
Okay, That's just... fine.
So, I was going to say Piece of My Heart. Should have been you coming up. See? I go back there. Just, I'm going to leave this show, go home, and I'm just going to mainline MASH episodes for all of the day.
Oh, my Lord.
That and China Beach. I'm just going to go back and forth between the two.
Oh, my God. China Beach.
China Beach.
China Beach.
I'm saying China Beach.
That was such a good show.
It was there.
It was. I loved it. Okay. I'm sorry. You were asking a question.
I was.
Yes.
something, what do you want the audience to take away with them from this show?
I think the biggest thing that you'll take away from this show is an understanding that at the end of the day, love really does conquer all, as cheesy as that sounds. But truly...
Not when there's napalm involved.
We're on this show now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
We're on this show.
Keep going.
And the way it does that is, you know, we're on this journey trying to find someone who loves us for who we are and our whole self. Everything about us, the good, the bad, the ugly, our flaws, because we are human and we all have flaws. And, you know, you really search for that one person who accepts you for who you are at that ultimate level, that ultimate truth. And if you don't live that way, then you're always kind of going to be a little bit less than, which is a song in the show. Plug.
Okay. I was wondering, because it was in unison all of a sudden. I was like, wow, are they really that good of friends?
We're spending a lot of time together.
Yes, okay.
Yeah. The main takeaway for me is that, you know, families will be what they are, you know, but as long as your family loves you and has your back, you will get through anything, including a wedding.
Mm. Oh, yes. I've only done one of those in my life. I don't ever want to do that again. Not ever. Okay. Thank you guys so much for coming on the show and talking about It Should Have Been You.
Thank you for having
it's
us.
Running September 7th through the 16th at Shannon Arts in Stanton. Please, guys, go see it. And, you know, afterwards, give Alejandro a big old hug and a kiss and, you know, some form of alcohol in small little bottles to get him through.
All right. Tickets are at shannonarts.org.
Yes. Yes.
And that's it for Homegrown. Our opening music for us was Spit It Out, Inc. Our event music is by Positive Collective. Coming up next, previously broadcast episode of Sunday Morning Wake-Up Call with host Rick Moore, guest Reverend Eric Walker Wickstrom, Thomas Jefferson Memorial Unitarian Universalist Church. See you next week.
You've been listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. You can contact the show on Facebook by searching Homegrown.